Today's Shir Masechta Ksubas Daf Gimel. We will begin on Daf Beis on the Beis, 9 lines from the bottom. In our previous Shir, we had learned that Psul and Nesas Liyam Raviya, Psul gets married on Wednesday, and the Gemara discussed what was the halacha if someone was prepared to get married and then something beyond their control came up. What do we do in terms of the obligation to support her once that time came? Then the Gemara, from discussing that Shaila, just began to discuss the Shaila of what is the halacha if there's an oinus, if there's a situation regarding a get and something, and there was a t'nai made in the get, and now something came up that prevented that t'nai from being able to be fulfilled. Is there a claim that it was an oinus, or is there not a claim? And the Gemara, as we were learning, tried to prove that there is a claim of oinus. And now the Gemara proves that there is no oinus begitten miha from the following episode. It says the Gemara, "Hu gavra da amaluhu." There was a person that said, as he gave the get, "Ilay asina, if I don't come back, mikamva tlos and yamim, within 30 days, we'll have a get. The get should be a good get." Also, he wanted to arrive, he tried to arrive within the 30 days, opasek mabra, but the river flooded, and it was impossible for him to cross the river, and therefore, he wasn't able to come. So now the question is this a get, do we have a good get or not? On one hand, an argument can be made. He was very clear that the get is only a get. The get is a get if he doesn't show up, and he didn't show up. On the other hand, the argument could be made that the get, it was beyond his control. It wasn't his fault that he wasn't able to come. Amalhu, and this person, as he's standing on the other side of the river, is proclaiming, Chazud asoy, look, I'm here, I wanted to come. Shmuel, and Shmuel Paskin, that even though it was beyond his control, still, lav shmei masya. It's not considered as he came. The fact that there was an oinus, that it was beyond his control, doesn't make a difference. Ask the Gemara, maybe that's not a good example. The ilma unsu d'shkiach shani, that there should be a flood, is common. And since it's common that there should be a flood, he should have anticipated that there's going to be a flood, and he should have said, the Kivin di Boile Lesnuvil Asne, he should have said that if I'm prevented from coming because of something that is to be expected and therefore would not be considered that there's a violation of the condition. And therefore he, by not making that declaration, Iu da Afse Nafshe, it was he himself created this situation, and therefore we can't bring a raya from that situation regarding get. There's a very famous opinion cited by the Aguda. The Aguda was a Rishon. He says that somebody made a nether that he's going to do something by a certain time, within 30 days. And he delayed and he didn't do it until the 30th day. And now it's the 30th day. And today, something indeed came up, an oinus came up that was beyond his control. Is that considered oinus or not? This is what's known in halacha as an oinus b'yoy machrin. He waited for the last moment, and now he's an oinus. How does the halacha look at such a situation? And he says that an oinus b'yoy machrin lo have an oinus. If somebody waited for the last moment, and then he says, well, it was beyond, something came up beyond my control, that is not considered an oinus. Why did he wait for the last moment? So the Nesivus asks from our Gemara. The Gemara is discussing that this person came on the last day, and that it was something beyond his control. The river flooded. So the Gemara wants to use this example, this case as an example. Do we say oinus is accepted by Gittin or not? But why don't we say that the fact that he waited for the last moment, it's not considered an oinus? So the Nesivus answers that the definition of an oinus begitten is the person gave a get, and he attached a condition to the get. And he says that if I don't fulfill this condition, the get should be a get. We know that this person doesn't want this get to be a good get. This person came, and he came because he didn't want the get to be a good get. When do we say, therefore, the fact that he waited for the last minute doesn't change that reality. The Chasam Sofer says the when does that good to say that oinus b'yom achron have a oinus? That's when something should have been done earlier. And you waited for a later time, so then you can't claim that you're an oinus. Why didn't you do the mitzvah, or why didn't you do something earlier? Why did you wait for the last moment? In other words, the Chasam Sofer, to understand the Chasam Sofer, if somebody made a neder to do something, and he should, if you make a neder, the right thing to do is to fulfill the neder as soon as possible. And this individual delayed. So now we could say to the person, the right thing to do is to make the neder at the first opportunity. And you who delayed did the wrong thing, and now you can't claim that you're an oinus. But here, when it comes to the situation to a get, the situation of a get is not something that there's a specific reason why he should have come earlier. There's no reason that he should have necessarily come earlier, and therefore we can't have a claim to him that you are not considered an oinus. The same concept can actually be used regarding davening. We know what halacha is, that if somebody misses a tefillah ba'oinus, he can make up the tefillah. The question is, if somebody could have davened earlier in the morning, and he didn't, and now the time came, now when it's later, he's an oinus. Is that person indeed considered an oinus that he can make up the tefillah, or he's not considered oinus? Why didn't you daven earlier? It seems that according to the Agudah, such an individual will not be called an oinus. How can we call such a person an oinus? Why did you wait for the last moment? But when there's no reason to, because by davening, you should daven at the first opportunity that you have to daven. Here, there's no reason to do the davening earlier. Another teretz that Reb Chaim Brisker suggests. Reb Chaim Brisker suggests when we have a time connected to a situation, sometimes the time is a condition, and sometimes the time is part of the mitzvah. In other words, he explains that if somebody says that I have to marry you within 30 days, what that means is that the time is framing my obligation. In a situation where the time is framing my requirement, then there is no rule that it has to be done at the first moment. Where the time is not framing my obligation, then the halacha is, we have halacha of oinus b'yom achron. Where does the Agudah take this opinion that oinus b'yom achron is not considered oinus? The Torah speaks about somebody selling a home in a batei arachayma. The halacha is, as the pasuk teaches us, the Gemara Masechet Erechin teaches us, that if somebody sells a home in a bay in a city that has a wall, you could buy it back within a year, even if the buyer doesn't want to sell it back. But if you didn't buy it back with a year, then you lose that opportunity. And the Mishnah talks about that what people used to do is that this buyer would make himself not available on the last day because he knew that was the day that people are most likely to buy it back. And Hill made a rule that if I come to buy back my home and I can't find the buyer because the buyer is hiding from me, I could just leave the money and take back my home. The question is, why did Hill have to make such a rule? Obviously, if this person is not available, then I'm an oinus, says the Agudah. From here we see that this is not considered an oinus. Why did I wait for the last day? And that's why Hillel had to make a rule that because people were acting inappropriately, that I could still have a way of being able to buy back my house. Because if not, I would not be able to claim that an oinus, that I didn't find the buyer. Why did you wait for the last day? the Rishonim and Achronim who disagree with the Agudah, how do they respond to this raya that the Agudah brings? So they say that there's a fundamental question: how do we understand the situation of Einus B'Yom Akron? Do we understand the situation of a Bais Ir Chaima? Do we understand that when somebody buys a Bais Ir Chaima, it becomes the buyer's immediately? Chazal gave us the opportunity, the Torah gave us the opportunity to buy it back. If that's the case, then indeed, the halacha is, then why did I wait till the last day to exercise my option? But they explain what the Torah says by Bais Ir Chaima. What the Torah is saying by Bais Ir Chaima is that it doesn't become his until the last day. Since it doesn't become the buyer's till the last day, that's why that's not considered that I didn't use my option earlier. There was no option that I needed to use. It was really mine's all along. So the Gemara said that when it's an Einus Shchiach, so what the person should have recognized that this is likely to happen, and made that stipulation that if something like this happens, the get should be not a get. The fact that he didn't make that stipulation is clearly an indication, this is the way Rabbi Akiva Eger learns the Gemara, that he recognized that there's this possibility, and if this possibility will happen, then the get will be a get. And that's why we can't consider this a raya. We can't consider this a raya that it's considered that an oinus is or isn't considered a factor when we think about getting. Says the Gemara, Ella Rava. So we're back to where we started. Rava said, "Ain oinus begitten." And the Gemara wants to know from where do we know this? Says the Gemara, Rava svarad nafshi kama. Rava said it based on his own understanding. The reason he said that ain oinus begitten is because he was concerned mishum tsnuus and mishum prutus. And the Gemara explains itself. Mishum tsnuus, the amrit. If we're going to say that if there was an oinus, loyla have a get, the get won't be a get. Zimnun delay onus. Sometimes there was no oinus. And if there was no oinus, the get is a good get. Visara, but the woman who's a tsnua will be concerned the oinus, that there was an oinus, and that's why the get is not a good get. And because she has this serious concern, she will not get remarried. And Chazal were very concerned that women who are allowed to get married should be allowed to get married and not start being concerned that maybe they shouldn't. And therefore, the halacha is, Chazal said, you don't have to worry about an oinus. On the other hand, another reason, says the Gemara, umashum prutzis. The amit loyal have a get. If we're going to say that it's not a get, then zimnan da onus, sometimes there was an oinus, and if there's an oinus, the get is not a good get. The amra, however, this woman will say, the loyonus, there was no oinus, and therefore the get's a good get. And based on that, the ozol mincible, she'll go get remarried. And at the end, the get was really not a good get. The nimtza get bottled. The get wasn't a good get. Or b'nei mamzerim, and her children are mamzerim, because she will end up not getting married when she wasn't really allowed to get married. Says the Gemara, or me ask the Gemara, mi'kamidi. So let's understand this. That means midaraisa, if there was an oinus, the get would not be a good get. Chazal said that the get is a good get. Ask the Gemara, how could that work? How could we have a situation that the Meraisa loy have a get, that Meraisa it's not really a good get, and now because we've created these new concerns, Amashem Tznus, Amashem Prutzos, Sharin and Eshesish La'alma, how could we take a woman who is really an Eshesish, because the get is really not a good get, and make it into a good get? Answers the Gemara, in. Chazal have the ability to do so. Because called Mekadosh, Adatad Rabbana Mekadosh. When somebody gets married, he gets married based on the consent of the Rabbanan. And that's why in every marriage we say, Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael. And the Rabbanon have the right, Afkin Rabbanon L'Kedushim, and the Rabbanon have a right to say that this marriage never took place. So when Chazal make, when this happens, Chazal actually said that she was not Mekudeshes. I saw a beautiful shot called Mekadesh Adatid Rabbanon Mekadesh. There are many people that want to be Mekadesh themselves. They want to become better. But they think that they know what's required and what should be done to get better. Teaches us the Gemara, called the Mekadesh. If you want to get better, don't decide yourself. Don't make up by yourself that this is what you need to do. Adatid the Rabbanon Mekadesh, you need to do it with the Das Torah, what the Rabbanon tells to do. So our Gemara has taught us that there's a rule of Adatid the Rabbanon Mekadesh, Vafkin Rabbanon L'Kedusha Minei. The Gemara, there's a number of ways of learning. One way of learning is that whenever somebody gets married, he gets married based on the consent of the Rabbanon. And since he gets married based on the consent of the Rabbanon, if the Rabbanon want to determine that this Kedushin is not a valid Kedushin, they have a right to make that determination. That's the way Rashi learns. In other words, that when somebody is getting married, he's sort of saying explicitly that everything I'm doing is only conditioned if the Rabbanon agree that this Kedushin is a valid Kedushin. Tosfos has a different pshat. Tosfos says that the Rabbanon have the right to be mafkia Kedushin. That means, according to Tosfos' pshat, even if the person would not have said Kedas Moshe Yisrael, it doesn't make a difference. The Torah gave the power, the authority to the Rabbanon, that even if somebody made a Kedushin, they could annul that Kedushin. So, based on this, there are a number of questions. When we say called Mekadesh, Adatid Rabbanon Mekadesh, Vafkin Rabbanon Kedushin Minei, what does that mean? Does it mean that the Kedushin was never a Kedushin? Or does called Adata Rabbanon Mekadesh means that the Kedushin was a Kedushin, but from now on, it's not a Kedushin? It's very possible to say that that is the machloikis of Rashi and Tosfos. According to Rashi, the Kedushin was never a Kedushin. According to Tosfos, the Kedusha was a Kedushin. It's just that the Torah gave the Rabbanon the authority to annul that Kedushin from here on in, but not afterwards. And there will be a number of nafkaminas. One nafkamina will be, may this woman marry her husband's relatives. If we say that the Kedushin was never a Kedushin, she was never married to this man. If she was never married to this man, then his relatives are not also to him. If we say it's only from here going forward, but she was at one point related to this man, and therefore the halacha will be that she can't marry her relatives. Or another question, what would be the halacha if she had an adulterous relationship during her marriage, and then the Rabbanon annulled the marriage? How will the halacha look at that situation? If it's considered that she was never married, then it turns out that she never had an adulterous relationship. You have to be an Eishes Ish to have that type of relationship. If, however, she was married until the point that the Rabbanon annulled the marriage, then the halacha is that if she had an improper relationship before the Rabbanon annulled the marriage, she was an Eishes Ish that was Mezana. So Tosfos says that the Rishonim say that even if we'll say that the Rabbanon mafkir the Kedushin, and the Rabbanon mafkir the Kedushin l'mafreya, it doesn't mean that the Rabbanon utilizes this rule all the time. What I mean to say is, as Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says in a tshuva, one point he makes is that we can't just apply this concept of kin Rabbanon l'Kedushin minei whenever we want to solve a problem. We only could use the concept of kin Rabbanon l'Kedushin minei when Chazal instituted that rule. But when Chazal didn't say that rule, then we don't say v'fkinu Rabbanon l'Kedushin minei. Secondly, the Rishonim point out that even when Chazal do employ the concept of Afkina Rabbanan L'Kedusha Minei, that is only Midaraisa. That the Midaraisa, she's not considered a Yeshus Ishtaraisa. But it doesn't create that she wasn't a Yeshus Ish Midrabbanan. And therefore, if she would have children and with someone else, they would be at least Mamzerim Midrabbanan. But Tosfos asks a question. If there's always a possibility that Chazal, that the Rabbanan, have the ability to annul a marriage, so that means when a woman who's a married woman has an adulterous relationship, we know that a woman can't be punished, no one can be punished, without Asra. So Tosfos asks, why every time we give a woman who's about to do something like that a Hasra, is it considered a Hasra? Why shouldn't it be considered Hasra Sofik? Because it's not certain that she's an Eishes Ish. Maybe the Rabbanan will annul the marriage. So Tosfos says that since in most situations this concept of Hakina Rabbanan Kedusha Minei is not used, just because there's a remote possibility that it will be used doesn't mean that that's not enough to make it into Asra Sofik. Another teretz that Tosfos says is that we follow the chazaka. And right now, this woman has a chazaka that she's in a suah. If a woman has a chazaka, she's in a suah, giving her a asra that you can't live with another man is enough of a asra that should not be considered Asra Sofik. Another pshat goes back to what we just mentioned a moment ago, that if Afkin Rabban al-Kedush Minei only works going forward, but Afkina Rabban al-Kedush Minei does not work retroactively, so she is Mekudeshes. And even when the Rabbanan are going to Afkina Rabbanan al-Kedush Minei, even if there's going to be a situation where the Rabbanan will see that they should annul the marriage, that will only go forwards. But backwards, she was always an Eishes Ish. And therefore, the Asra that she was given, that she may not have this type of relationship, is very much a legitimate Hasra. Amalei Ravina Rashi, so Rabbanan now, the Gemara now introduced this concept of Afkinu Rabbanan L'Kedush Minei. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Ravina Rashi, Tainach the Kaddish B'Kaspa. If somebody made Kedusha Kesef, so there we could understand. And the Posh Pshah in the Gemara is because there's a concept of Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. And the Bezdin could say that the money that the husband used to be Mekadosh the wife was not his money. If it wasn't his money, the Kedushin was never a Kedushin. But ask the Gemara, Kaddish B'Biyah, you can't make the Biyah disappear. So ask the Gemara, Mayikul Meimer, how do Rabbanon employ the concept of Afkin Rabbanon Kedushin Minei? So as I said, Rashi explains that the question is that even that by Kesef, we could say Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker, we can't say that by Kedushin. The Ramban takes a different approach. He says that by Kedusha Bia, you can't say that the man, when he did the Kedushin, connected his Kedushin to the consent of the Chachamim. It's difficult to say that the Chachamim were involved in that. And therefore, since it's difficult to explain it that way, then the Rabbanan certainly did not have no authority to mafkir the Kedushin. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that what happens if somebody was Mekadosh B'Biyah and not Rabbanan or mafkir the Kedushin? What happens is, it turns out that the Biyah that he did to make the Kedushin would have been a wrong thing. He did a Biyah not in the setting of a marriage. And since he did the Biyah not in the setting of a marriage, Chachamim won't use a concept that will turn out that by them employing whatever they're employing, the man would have done an Aveira. That's not the approach the Chachamim take to situations. Another Pshat that Rashi quotes from his Rabbeisov is that Kedushay Kesef, that somebody can be Mekadosh a woman with Kedushay Kesef or with Kedushay Shtar, is only valid Midrabbanan. So at the same time that the Rabbanan said that the Kedushin is valid, they also could say that under certain circumstances, the Kedushin will not be a valid Kedushin. But when it's a Kedushay Biyah, a Kedushay Biyah work Midaraisa, The Rabbanan can't take a Kedushin, which is a valid Kedushin, asked the Gemara, according to Rabbi Yosef of Rashi, which is a valid Kedushin Midaraisa, and turn it into a Kedushin and say it's not a Kedushin. Answers the Gemara, Shavi Rabbanan will be lost a Bilaznus. The Rabbanan said that this Kedushin will be a Bilaznus. And again, according to the various Pshatim, we have to understand. One Pshat is that the Gemara is saying that the Rabbanan are mevatel the Kedushin, even if the price of being mevatel the Kedushin is a Kedushe, is that this man will have done a Bilas Nus. The other Pshat is that every Kedushin is done based on the consent of the Rabbanan. And not only Kedushe Kesef and Kedushe Shtar are done that way, but even Kedushe Bia are done based on the consent of the Rabbanan. Another pshat that we learn is that all the Kedushin are Kedushin Midaraisa. So if Chazal could do it by the Kedushin Shtar, they could do it by Kedushin Bia. Another pshat in understanding the Gemara's question is, yes, what happens by Chazal being Mafkia, the Kedushin, it turns out the person was Boil, Abil's Nus. Chazal, and this is what happens all the time in Halacha, Chazal were faced with a dilemma. Should they be Mefkir the Kedushin, and what he did was a Bias Nus, or should they leave things status quo and have the different issues that we're facing? Chazal, in the situations when they felt that they should be Mefkir the Kedushin, made a conscious decision that even though the repercussions of what they're doing is that this person is doing a Bias Nus, it doesn't make a difference. We'd rather be Mafkir the Kedushin because that's what we think is appropriate to be done under these circumstances, even though the price that is being paid is that the Kedushin, that the Bias that he did is a Bias Nus. Another pshat that I saw is just like a Kedushin toss. If somebody made a Kedushin under the wrong impression, we spoke many times in Masechta Yevamos, if somebody married a woman who's an Eilness, not knowing she's an Eilness, it's a Kedushe Tos. Afkina Rabbanan Kedushin makes the Kedushin into a Kedushe Tos. And since the Kedushin is a Kedushe Tos, that's why the Rabbanan have a right to say that this Kedushin was never a Kedushin. On Ikadamri, so as we began, we've been having a discussion, is an Eilness a claim by Gittin? So till now, we learned that Rava's opinion was that ain't oinus be Gittin. Now says the Gemara, Amar Rava, v'chein li'inyan Gittin. Alma kasava Rava, yesh oinus be Gittin. If something came up beyond his control, then the halacha is that oinus is a legitimate concern. However, the Rishonim, the Achronim, the Paiskim, it's really a Tosfos, discussed that there are three types of oinus. There's a situation of an oinus de la shchich klal, that's something that nobody could have thought about. And therefore, in such a case, everybody agrees that that would be a legitimate oinus. An oinus de shchich, like we had earlier, where it's common that there should be a flood, everybody will agree that that's not considered an oinus. And as the Mefarshim or Kivega, others explain, the reason it's not an oinus is because iyu da afse nafshe, he should have known that this is a possibility and he should have recognized the possibility. And then we have a situation of oinus to shkich v'lo shkich. It's not common and it's not uncommon. And that's where we have the machlokes between the two versions of Rav and our sugya, if we say yesh oinus begitten or ain oinus begitten. The Shulchan Aruch in Evan Ezer, Simen Kuf Mamdalet Sif Aleph, says that when it's an oinus that takes the approach, that when it's an oinus that you should have anticipated, then the halacha is that it's not considered oinus. The Shulchan Aruch clearly says that when it's an oinus that you should have anticipated, then you can't claim that it's an oinus. You should have anticipated. In a situation where it's something that you didn't know what's going to happen, then it seems that the Shulchan Aruch, that it's shchich v'lo shchich, it seems that the Shulchan Aruch takes a lenient approach. Meisvei asked the Gemara, everything that we used before as a proof is not going to be a kasha. Maisvei, we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Gittin, Hareza Gittechem Leibosim Kamvei Shnei Masechadish. If somebody tells his wife, this is the get, if I don't come within 12 months, Meis B'toch Shnei Masechadish, and then he passes away within those 12 months, ain't a get. What do we see from here? Because he died. And as we learned, and we're going to learn in a moment, because of that, it's something that ain't get lachemisa, and that's why the get's not a good get. Hachala, but if he would have gotten sick, then the get would be a good get, even though he was an oinus. Laila Maimalach answers the Gemara, that isn't the proof. Because actually, chala nami ain't a get. Even if he got sick, the get would not be a good get, because he had a claim of oinus. But if that's the case, why didn't the Gemara there teach us this halacha? Because the Gemara wants to teach us, as we learned, a different din. He gufaka mashmalon, then get lachemisa. A get achemisa is not a valid get. Ask the Gemara, and get lachemisa. If the purpose is to teach us that halacha, hatana leirisha. We already learned that in the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Bey. We learned that already earlier in the Mishnah there, that if Shchimera wrote a get to his wife, he wrote, I raise a get to chemesi, or if I, in all these cases, the get is not a good get, because a get lachemis is not a good get. Answers the Gemara, the Benesenu say that if there's a date on the get, even though he used this type of wording, the get will be valid from when the get was written, and that's why the halacha is that we had to teach us that ain't get lachemisa. Tashma, it says in the Mishnah, if somebody says, Imloy Basi Mekanvet Shnei Masachaydish, the halacha is, Hareza, if somebody says, Me'achshav, the get should be valid from today, Imloy Basi Mekanvet Shnei Masachaydish, or Meis Betoich Shnei Masachaydish, Hareza get. The get's going to be a good get, because the get is valid from today. My lav, isn't that the same halacha l'chayla? That if somebody got ill, he was announcing that the get, even though I got ill, it was beyond my control, the get should be valid from today, even though there was an oinus. Says Amar, no. Meis dafka. In a case where he dies, that's when he wants the get to be valid from the day that it was written. The reason he wants it to be valid from the day that it was written is because he doesn't want his wife to have to fall to Yibam Chalitza. But when he's alive, just sick, maybe he doesn't want the get to be valid. The Noilichale, the Tibel Kameyovin. Tosh Masur Gemara attempts another raya. Mehuda Amar Lu, somebody said, Eli Sin Mekanvat Shloshim Yoim, if I don't come within 30 days, we'll have a get. The get should be a good get. And also, Betayis Kloisa Yomin, he came on the 30th day, but something beyond his control happened. Or Pasuk Mabr, there was a flood that prevented him from getting to where he needed to get. Amalu, and he was announcing, Chazud Asoy, look, I'm here. Just something happened beyond my control. Vamashmul, Loishman Masya. It's not considered as if he came. So we see the fact that there was an oinus is not considered. It says the Gemara, oinus the Shchiach Shani. That was something he should have anticipated. The Kivin the Bailele Snuye. He should have said that if something like this happens, then the get should not be a get. The fact that he didn't say it, Yehuda Afsara Nafshe. We go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that the proper time to make a wedding is on Wednesday. And that says the Gemara, Amr Shmuel by Yitzchak, Lo Yishan Amr Tekanes Ezra Ve'elach. That was only from the time of Ezra. But from the time of Ezra, they instituted, Shein Bati Dinim Kavun El B'Shenim B'Chamishi, that the Bati Dinim are not in session only on Monday and Wednesday. And as we spoke quite extensively in our previous year, Chazal wanted that if the husband finds that the woman is not a besula, they should be able to come when he's still excited to Bezdin the next morning. Avo kaim ten Bezrin, before the time of Ezra, Shabbat edinu kfum b'chol yoyim, the Bezdin was in session every day, Isha nesus b'chol yoyim, a woman can marry every day. So the question is, when were Bat Edinim, what was in place before Ezra came. So Rabbeinu Tam says that before Ezra came, Bezdin did not have a special time when they were in session. And what you needed to do was get Bezdin into session. What Ezra accomplished was that the Bat Edinim had set hours, and a person who needs to go to Bezdin, they could go to Bezdin whenever they know when Bezdin is in session. Another pshat that the Ri says, that because the Gemara, the Rishonim are focused that Ezra made a takana. Ezra made an improvement. What was the improvement that Ezra made? The Ri says that before the time of Ezra, there were only Bati Dinim in certain select cities. What Ezra instituted is that there should be a Beis Din in every city in session these 2 days. The Ritva says that before the time of Ezra, the Bati Dinim would go from city to city. Now Ezra said that there was a Beis Din in every city on session, in session, Monday and Wednesday. And the Ritva says that before the time of Ezra, there was no set time when the Beis Din was in session. Ezra said that there has to be a set time when Beis Din is in session. The Miri says that before the time of Ezra, that but somebody had a Din Torah, he could go to any city for that Din Torah. Whatever Ezra instituted, that if you have a Din Torah with somebody who lives in your same city, you should go to the Beis Din in your city. So Ritva asks, what is our Gemara saying? That in the time of Ezra, wedding, as our Mishnah said, weddings only take place on Wednesday. Ezra instituted that because Bati Dinim are only in session Monday and Thursday, and if Beis Din is in session every day, we could get married every day. But asked Ritva, there's a rule that is often stated in Shas, and that is that once Beis Din makes a rule, ein Beis Din ach yochel v'atloy, a later Beis Din cannot annul that rule, elam ken golma men achoch b'minyan, unless the later Beis Din is greater. And in halacha, we never assume that a later Beis Din is greater than an earlier Beis Din. So how could, even though the reasoning why the wedding should not take place on Thursday, not only on Wednesday, is no longer applicable, the rule should still remain. So Ritva says that when Chazal originally made the rule of our Mishnah, the wedding should take place on Wednesday, when they instituted that rule, then they also said that that's only as long in a time when Beis Din is only in session Monday and Thursday. But if there will be a time that Beis Din will be in session every day, this rule doesn't apply. The Agos Eshri says, we don't even have to have that. The Agos Eshri says that if it's obvious that was the intention of the original Beis Din, that the intention of the original Beis Din was that this rule should only be under certain circumstances, we don't have to follow this rule. The Chasam Sofer says that the rule of our Mishnah was never a rule that was set for everywhere. The rule up front was only made for those locations that Beis Din is in session only on Monday and Thursday. Even in the time of the Mishnah, if there were, and apparently there were, places that Beis Din were in session every day, then Chasnas could take place every day. So we learned that the wedding could take place every day. But the question is, how could a wedding take place on Thursday? If a wedding takes place on Thursday, the Beis Bati Dinim don't sit on session on Friday. So how can you make a wedding on Thursday? So the Rishonim asked this question, and they quote a Yerushalmi. Even though Bati Dinim don't sit in full-fledged session on Shabbos, if something like this comes up, they'll open up the session in order to begin the deliberation, quickly stop the deliberation because it's Friday, it's Erev Shabbos. But once they've begun the Din Torah, so then they could continue even afterwards, but the excitement that we're concerned about is already in place. So there's a question, could you make a wedding on Friday? Because if you make a wedding on Friday, then there's no Beis Din on Shabbos. So how could they make a wedding on Friday? And apparently, it was very common to make weddings on Friday. So Ri says in Tosfos that even though there's no Beis Din on Shabbos, but you could still convene 3 people to listen to your claim, even on Shabbos. And since you could convene 3 people to meet on Shabbos and tell them your original claim, and then you'll continue after Shabbos. The Mordechai says that indeed the the reason why we can make a wedding on Friday, even though there are no weddings on, there are no bezer on Shabbos, explains the Mordechai that the reason it was so popular to make weddings on Friday is because people didn't have money to make an extra meal. On Shabbos, they ate a meal anyway. So since they ate a meal on Shabbos anyway, that's why the weddings took place on Friday. So even though on one hand, a wedding should not take place on Friday evening, we have no bezer on Shabbos, but because of the concern of saving money, they overrode this rule. Another pshat is that our, and this goes back to something that we mentioned in our previous year, and it's something that we're going to mention often. And that is, in their world, there was Erisin and then Nisuin. And there's a real concern, as we learned and will continue learning, that this woman maybe had relations while she was an Arusa. And a woman who's an Arusa is considered an Eishes Ish. In our world, the Erisin and Nisuin are done essentially simultaneously. So there's no concern that she had, even if she turns out to be a Beula, there is no concern that she did something while she was an Eishes Ish. So the concern that we're so busy with in our Masechta, in our Sugyas, doesn't apply nowadays. And therefore, weddings could take place on Friday. The halacha is, what about getting married on Shabbos? So the halacha is, the l'chatchila, one should not get married on Shabbos. That there are those that are more lenient. If somebody doesn't have a wife and children, they're allowed to get married on Shabbos. There's a question of breaking the basulim, which is called doing a chabura on Shabbos. The Ramah and Ayur Chaim, Simon Shin Lamates Sef Aleph, says that one should not get married on Shabbos, El B'Shas HaTchak. U'l'chatchila yesh lizor, shaloi lov l'day kach. A person should be careful, says the Ramah, to avoid getting married. A person should be concerned on not getting married on Shabbos. If there's no other choice, then one should get married on Shabbos. And as we said, the weddings took place very often. The halacha, and the reason is, in order to prevent people to be able to make a wedding, and particularly they couldn't afford meat. And the minig is that one is supposed to have meat at a wedding. And because of that, they got married on Friday evening when they ate meat, when they ate meat anyway, recovered Shabbos. Ask the Gemara. Couldn't Kanas Ezra ask the Gemara, why are we so focused on what happened before Ezra came? May the hava, says the Mahakama. E kabati dinim the kavua idna. If there will be, as we explained, bati dinim in session all the time, like it was Kaidim Takanas Ezra, Isha Nishta Bakal Yoim. But ask the Gemara, but why is that acceptable? Habirin Shaktu, as we discussed in our previous year, Chazal wanted that the husband should prepare the wedding for 3 days. And why can we get married earlier, says on any other day of the week? Says the mother Trichle. We're talking here in a situation where the husband did prepare the wedding. And since the husband prepared the wedding, that's why we need not be concerned that the wedding wasn't prepared properly. The wedding wasn't prepared properly beforehand. So says the Gemara, my Shaktu, where do we find this concept of Shaktu, asked the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Neima Amru P'sul Nasas L'Yom Ravi, why is the halacha that a P'sul should get married on Wednesday? Shiva Yom Tanis P'sulim, if the husband has a claim, Hayimashkin L'Bezdin, he'll get up tomorrow morning, but to not, and make his claim. If that's the case, ask the Braisa. So Tinasa Bechem Shabbos, she should get married on Sunday. V'mahayu leitanis psulim, and if I have any issue, hoi mashkel bezdin, he come to bezdin Monday morning. And that we learned, shaktu chachamah v'takonis b'nei Yisrael, Chazal were concerned about Jewish girl, she'yadam tarech besuda, that a person should be busy in making the wedding properly, shloish yomim, for 3 days, echem b'shabbos, v'shenim b'shabbos, v'shlishim b'shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, or b'revi'a kansoi, and Wednesday, they'll get married. There's a machloikus rishonim. If a woman says, I'm more interested in getting married than my husband spending time on making the wedding, can she get married earlier, even if it means getting, not having such elaborate wedding. The Chalkas Nechaikik and the Makna both say that a woman has a right to be Meichel. The Aruch HaShulchan says that if the girl explicitly says, I don't care, we accept it. But if she doesn't say it explicitly, then her family could say, even though she hasn't said anything, it bothers us. And since it bothers us, the halacha is that the wedding has to, we have to have a situation of shaktu, and the wedding cannot take place earlier than that time. And says the Gemara, Misakana ve'elich, once there's a sakana, as we're going to learn, Nagam lichnas v'shlishi, weddings are done on Tuesday, v'lemich b'yadim chachamim, and Chazal don't stop it. B'sheni lo yichnas, but we shouldn't make the weddings on Monday. If we have to make the weddings earlier, we should make them one day earlier, but not 2 days earlier. V'machmas oynas, but if there's something that prevents us from make the wedding Tuesday, mutter, we can make the wedding on Monday. Says the Gemara, Umafrishnas achasim akala leil Shabbos tchila. We, as we spoke a moment ago, we don't let the first beer between a chosin and a kala take place on Shabbos, because when a chosin does beer with a kala is upsula, ne oisa chabura. Ask mama sakana. What is meant when we said a sakana, that's why they stop making weddings on Wednesday, men and Tuesday? Ilam da amri psula nasis liyam revi. If it's because there was a gzeira that they made, that any girl who gets married on Wednesday to Harug is going to get killed, Nagu, and that's why that we say Nagu, that they made the minig to do it on Tuesday, the Ligamri Nekre. If it's a situation where it's a Sakana, nothing stands in the way of Sakana, we should do whatever we have to do. Amarava, rather what they say was, the reason there is the Amri that they said, Psula Nesas B'yom Revi'ah, a psula that gets married on Wednesday, tibor lagman tchila, would have to have relations with the governor first. So in order to avoid that, Chazal said that the wedding should take place on Tuesday. Ask the Gemara, hi sakana, that's hi sakana oinasu. It's a situation of a sakana. And why would that be? That's not just a sakana, it's an oinas. Answers the Gemara, mishum dekitznus the mason nashaylik tala. There are women that will give themselves up to be killed, fasting day sakana, Chazal were worried about those women. But ask the Gemara, if that's Chazal's concern, literally don't shari. Why don't Chazal just teach everybody that is not a concern? Answers the Gemara, Ika Prutus, there are people who are going to willingly have such a relation and use this as an excuse. Ika Nami Kahanis, or there are Kahanis that even if they had relations against their will, they still can't go back to their husband. And that's why, to avoid all of these types of situations, they said the wedding, the woman should get married on Wednesday. So if that's the case, the lakri, the din that we learned in our Mishnah, the Wednesday, weddings don't take place on Wednesday, should be completely taken away where it's such a situation. Answers the Gemara, Gzeira Avida the Batla. The Gzeira with the governor will not be here forever. But the content Rabban Mekam Gzeira Leikrinim. And that's why we say, while we have this issue, don't get married on Wednesday. And when things get back to normal, if you live in a place where they're only Batei Dinim on Monday and Thursday, get married on Wednesday. Yochi, Sag Demara, if the concern is that the Hegmon is going to do Bia with every Jewish Kala, so if we're getting married on Tuesday, Nami Asaboil, we have the same concern. Says the Gemara, as long as weddings took place always on Wednesday, the Hegman knew to come on Wednesday, I guess, to the wedding halls. When it's not Wednesday, when there is no such a day, a specific day, the Hegman is too lazy to come. Because he says, who says there's a wedding? Misveka la'oka nafshe. The Gemara here says, Gzeira avida de batla. He says that what's pshat that the Gzeira becomes batla? So explains Reb Tzadik, why, unfortunately, do Klal Yisrael suffer Gzeiris? The reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Gzeiris on Klal Yisrael is because they need to do tshuva. And if the Gzeira accomplishes what it's supposed to accomplish, and people do the tshuva, so then the halacha is that the Gzeira becomes batel. And because the gzeira becomes bottle, that's why every gzeira has the potential of becoming bottle when Klai Yisrael will do the tshuva that has to happen because of the gzeira.